Peace be upon you. So in previous episodes, we discussed the concept of intercession, and we were mostly looking at it in the lens of the traditionalist interpretation that they believe that the Prophet Muhammad can intercede on the behalf of individuals on the day of resurrection, or other hadith where they say if a group of 100 devout believers, if they pray for the forgiveness of someone, that they will be forgiven. Now, we know that this goes completely against the Quran. In this episode, I want to look at the actual verses regarding intercession and reconcile and eliminate some of these misconceptions around the verses of the Quran regarding intercession. And in a nutshell, there's three main points that I want to address. The first one is that there is no third-party intercession. No third party is going to come in and be able to intercede on behalf of anyone else. The second point is, on the day of resurrection, there will be absolutely no pleading of any cases to make any arguments. And the last point is that the only speech that will be permitted will be the truth. Again, no one's going to be able to make their case. No one's going to be able to plead on behalf of themselves or anyone else. All that people will be able to do is to speak the truth. So God willing, let's look at the verses and see how these conclusions come to be. So the root of the word intercession occurs 31 times in the Quran. Five of these occurrences of this root occur in context outside of the day of resurrection. So in one occurrence, in Surah 89, verse 3, it's talking about the concept of even, like even and odd. Then there's four occurrences of the root in Surah 4, verse 85, regarding mediating a good or bad deed. So this leaves us with 26 occurrences of this root in the Quran in the context of intercession. Now, we can divide these verses into two broad categories. 18 of these 26 occurrences are regarding verses that discredit the possibility of any entity interceding on behalf of another on the Day of Judgment. The other 8 occurrences happen in verses where it appears to present a caveat to this rule. If we break it down further, of these 8 occurrences that present a caveat, what we find is 3 of these occurrences describe that it says that there is no intercession except in accordance with God's will. 3 other occurrences, it uses also the terminology except whom He approved. 1 occurrence uses the terminology except who bears witness to the truth. And the last occurrence says except whom took a covenant from the Most Gracious. So now let's look at these verses. And we're going to start by looking at the verses where it says that explicitly that there are no intercessors. And again, this occurs in 18 verses. And rather than reading all the verses, I'm going to select a few. And if you want a full list of the verses, you can look at the video notes and you can see them all there. So the first one I want to highlight is Surah 2, verse 48. It says, "Beware of the day when no soul can avail another soul, no intercession will be accepted, no ransom can be paid, nor can anyone be helped." In another example, in Surah 2, verse 123, it reads, "Beware of the day when no soul will help another soul, no ransom will be accepted, no intercession will be useful, and no one will be helped." Another example is Surah 10, verse 18. It says, "They worship beside God idols that possess no power to harm them or benefit them, and they say, these are our intercessors at God. Say, are you informing God of something he does not know in the heavens and earth? Be he glorified, he is most high, far above needing partners." Surah 26, verse 92 through 100, it reads, "They will be asked, where are the idols you had worshipped beside God? Can they help you now? Can they help themselves? They will be thrown therein together with the strayers and all of Satan's soldiers. They will say as they feud therein, by God, we were far astray. How could we set you up to rank with the Lord of the universe? Those who misled us were wicked. Now we have no intercessors." Now I'm going to let you in on something. What you realize from all these verses that eliminate the possibility of intercession, it's always in the context of a third party interceding on behalf of someone else. So I'm going to highlight a few more examples to show that when God says in the Quran that there is no intercession, it's always in the context of a third-party intercessor interceding on behalf of someone else. So for instance, in Surah 30, verse 13, it says, their idols will have no power to intercede on their behalf. On the contrary, they will disown their idols. So again, no intercession because no one is allowed to intercede on behalf of anyone else. Surah 36, verse 23, it says, shall I set up beside him gods? If the Most Gracious willed any harm for me, their intercession cannot help me one bit, nor can they rescue me. So again, we're seeing this theme that when it says there is no intercession, it's talking about any third party being involved to intercede on behalf of someone else. Surah 39, verse 43 and 44, it says, have they invented intercessors to mediate between them and God? Say, what if they do not possess any power nor understanding? Say, all intercession belongs to God. To him belongs all sovereignty of the heavens and the earth. Then to him you will be returned. Surah 40, verse 18, warn them about the imminent day when the hearts will be terrified and many will be remorseful. The transgressors will have no friend nor an intercessor to be obeyed. Surah 74, verse 48, the intercession of the intercessors will never help them. The reality is, on the day of resurrection, we are each going to be standing alone individually in front of God. We will not be able to call upon anyone else. It's just between God and us. And this is best articulated in Surah 6, verse 94. It reads, you have come to us as individuals, just as we created you the first time. And you have left behind what we provided for you. We do not see with you the intercessors that you idolized and claim that they will help you. All ties among you have been severed. The idols you set up have abandoned you. So on the day of resurrection, each person is going to be, as an individual, reporting to God. And the verses of the Quran are very clear that there will be no third party interceding on behalf of another on the day of judgment to change the outcome determined by God. So to think some other entity will come in to argue on behalf of someone else, to intercede on their behalf, again, goes against the direct verses of the Quran. And we have 18 examples of this. So now let's look at the other category of verses regarding intercession, the ones that appear to have a caveat to this rule. These verses often include the statement, bi'idini Allah. And this is often understood literally as by the permission of God. But it can also be understood as in accordance with God's will. This is because God knows everything and has already planned accordingly. Therefore, whatever he permits is always in accordance with his will. To better understand what it means when it says, except by God's permission or in accordance with God's will, it helps to look at the following verse that uses this exact same expression. In Surah 59, verse 5, it reads, whether you chop a tree or leave it standing on its trunk is in accordance with God's will. He will surely humiliate the wicked. This verse highlights what the meaning of bi'idhini Allah is. That any decision someone makes is always in accordance with God's will. Whether someone is able to do something or not, if they choose to chop the tree or leave it standing, is always with God's permission. Otherwise, it would not happen. So this is also why God commands the believers to say God willing when they say they will do anything in the future, because if God does not will it, then it will not happen. And if God permits it, then it will happen. And it will be in accordance with God's will. So there are three verses that only use this expression, in accordance with God's will, in the context of intercession. The first verse is Surah 2, verse 255. It reads, God, there is no other God besides him, the living, the eternal. Never a moment of unawareness or slumber overtakes him. To him belongs everything in the heavens and everything on earth. Who could intercede with him except in accordance with his will? He knows their past and their future. No one attains any knowledge except as he wills. His dominion encompasses the heavens and the earth, and ruling them never burdens him. He is the Most High, the Great. The next verse is Surah 10, verse 3. It reads, Your only Lord is God, the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, then assumed all authority. He controls all matters. There is no intercessor except in accordance with his will. Such as God your Lord, you shall worship him. Would you not take heed? In the last examples in Surah 34, verse 23, it reads, Intercession with him will be in vain unless it coincides with his will. When their minds are finally settled down and they ask, What did your Lord say? They will say, The truth. He is the Most High, the Great. The next verse uses a expression that's only used one time, and this is in Surah 19, verse 87. It reads, No one will possess the power to intercede except those who conform to the laws of the Most Gracious. If we look at the literal Arabic for this expression, it's those who took a covenant from the Most Gracious. So the question is, what is this covenant that it's referencing? We see that this covenant is the covenant that we're going to uphold righteousness, to refrain from idol worship, and to refrain from worshiping or following the devil. For example, in Surah 3, verse 76 and 77, we see the same covenant mentioned. It says, Indeed, those who fulfill their covenant and lead a righteous life, God loves the righteous. As for those who trade away God's covenant and their obligations for a cheap price, they receive no share in the hereafter. God will not speak to them, nor look at them on the day of resurrection, nor will he purify them. They have incurred a painful retribution. So we see this covenant for the day of judgment is in reference to those who led a righteous life. The individuals who traded away God's covenant, that God will not speak to them, he will not look at them, and he will not purify them on the day of resurrection. In Surah 36, verse 60, we see this covenant mentioned again. It says, Did I not covenant with you, O children of Adam, that you shall not worship the devil, that he is your most ardent enemy? In this life, there are only two paths. We either follow the path of God, any other path we choose is the path of the devil. So this again confirms that those who made a covenant with God are those who upheld leading a righteous life. These individuals will have an exception to intercession. The next batch of verses, you'll see three verses that use this expression that they're approved by God. So the first example is in Surah 21, verse 25 through 28. It reads, We did not send any messenger before you except with the inspiration, There is no God except me, you shall worship me alone. Yet they said, The Most Gracious has begotten a son. Glory be to him, all messengers are his honored servants. They never speak on their own, and they strictly follow his commands. He knows their future and their past. They do not intercede except whom he approved, and they're anxious from fear of it. So if we look at Surah 53, verse 26, says, Not even the angels in heaven possess authority to intercede. The only ones permitted are those whom he wills and he approves. And lastly, in Surah 20, verse 109, it reads, On that day, intercession will be useless, except for those permitted by the Most Gracious and whose utterances he approves. So now the question is, what does it mean when it says in accordance with God's will or whom he approved in the context of intercession? The answer to this can be seen in the following verse. In Surah 78, verse 38, it reads, The day will come when the spirit and the angels will stand in a row. None will speak except those permitted by the Most Gracious. And they will utter only what is right. we see what this permission entails is the ability to speak. And this is very telling because one needs to be able to speak in order to intercede. Secondly, the verse also gives us a clue that anyone permitted to speak will only be able to utter what is right. And we see this reinforced in the next verse, where we're informed that those who speak on the day of resurrection are those who bear witness to the truth. And this is in Surah 43, verse 86. It says, "None of those whom they idolize beside him possess any power to intercede, except who bears witness to the truth and they fully know." So this informs us that the only speech that will be permissible are those who utter what is right and bear witness to the truth. This is the only permissible speech on the day of judgment. Therefore, no one will have the ability to plead a case, to go and say, "Hey, I want to intercede on behalf of someone else. I want to make this argument to defend so-and-so." This goes against the clear-cut verses of the Quran. The only speech that will be permissible will be what is right and those who bear witness to the truth. And this is confirmed in Surah 75, verse 15, in the context of the day of resurrection. It says, "No excuses will be accepted." This destroys this idea that there's some third-party intercessor who's going to come and plead their case against God's judgment. And this is further confirmed in the following verse. Surah 82, verse 19, it says, "That is the day when no soul can help another soul. All decisions on that day will belong to God." The function of the day of judgment is for God to bring forth the truth. It is not a time where someone is going to be able to plead their case, either for themselves or their loved ones or their ummah. That does not happen. We do not have any relic of that in the Quran. Additionally, the Quran informs us that no one possesses the power to argue with God. So these narratives that the Prophet Muhammad, he argued with God and brought down the Salat from 50 to 5, or that on the day of resurrection, he's going to go and argue with God on behalf of his people, this has no foundation in the Quran. In Surah 78, verse 37, it says, "Lord of the heavens and the earth and everything between them, the most gracious, no one has power to argue with him." Period. This concept of people arguing with God, it's nonsensical. It has no foundation in the Quran. God controls all decisions and all matters. All God is going to do is bring forth the truth on the day of judgment. The time of making excuses is over. Now, what else is interesting is that God shares some of these testimonies on the day of resurrection. And we have this mentality that intercession is always for the positive. This is how it's described traditionally. But what we find is that these individuals who are permitted to speak, that their testimony is actually hurting them because they have to bring forth the truth of the heinous acts and crimes they committed in this world. For instance, in Surah 6, verse 130, it says, "O you jinns and humans, did you not receive messengers from among you who narrated to you my revelations and warned you about the meeting of this day? They will say, 'We bear witness against ourselves.'" They were totally preoccupied with the worldly life, and they will bear witness against themselves that they were disbelievers. God is permitting them to speak. God is permitting them to speak the truth. And the truth is that they were disbelievers, that they were preoccupied with this worldly life. In Surah 7, verse 37, it says, "Who is more evil than those who invent lies about God or reject his revelations? These will get their share in accordance with the scripture. Then when our messengers come to terminate their lives, they will say, 'Where are the idols you used to implore beside God?' They will say, 'They have abandoned us.' They will bear witness against themselves that they were disbelievers." Again, we're seeing that the ones who are permitted to speak in these instances are giving the truth to the testimony that they were disbelievers. that their outcome is hell. In Surah 41, verse 21, it reads, "They will say to their skins, 'Why did you bear witness against us?' They will reply, 'God made us speak up. He is the one who causes everything to speak. He is the one who created you the first time, and now you have been returned to him.'" In the last example, in Surah 17, verse 13, it says, "We have recorded the fate of every human being. It is tied to his neck. On the day of resurrection, he will hand him a record that is accessible. Read your own record. Today you suffice as your own reckoner." The only way someone will be able to suffice as their own reckoner is if they can only speak the truth. They will not be able to make excuses. They will not be able to come up with arguments to defend themselves. All they can utter is only the truth, and that truth will dictate their eternity. Now, we have a number of verses in the Quran where it indicates that God will call upon a witness from each community to serve as witnesses on the Day of Judgment. Two of these verses specifically reference the Prophet Muhammad, and one specifically references Jesus. In Surah 4, verse 41, it reads, "Thus, when the Day of Judgment comes, we will call upon a witness from each community, and you, the messenger, will serve as a witness among these people." In Surah 4, verse 159, in reference to Jesus, it says, "Everyone among the people of the scripture was required to believe in him before his death. On the day of resurrection, he will be a witness against them." In Surah 16, verse 89, it says, "The day will come when we will raise from every community a witness from among them, and bring you as the witness of these people. We have revealed to you this book to provide explanations for everything, in guidance and mercy and good news for the submitters." Interestingly, we have the testimony of both Jesus and Muhammad in the Quran, and as we'll see, their testimony is not to plead on behalf of anyone, but only to utter the truth. If we read Surah 5, verse 116 through 119, we see Jesus' testimony. It reads, "God will say, 'O Jesus, son of Mary, did you say to the people, make me and my mother idols beside God?' He will say, 'Be you glorified. I could not utter what was not right. Had I said it, you already would have known it. You know my thoughts, and I do not know your thoughts. You know all the secrets. I told them only what you commanded me to say, that you shall worship God, my Lord and your Lord. I was a witness among them for as long as I lived with them. When you terminated my life on earth, you became the watcher over them. You witness all things." Now listen carefully to this next part. This is Surah 5, verse 118. It says, "If you punish them, they are your constituents. If you forgive them, you are the Almighty, most wise." Nowhere in this statement is Jesus trying to intercede to reduce the punishment of people. He's leaving all the matters to God. And it continues in 5:119, "God will proclaim, 'This is a day when the truthful will be saved by their truthfulness. They have deserved gardens with flowing streams. They abide therein forever. God is pleased with them, and they are pleased with him. This is the greatest triumph.'" This testimony of Jesus confirms that on the day of resurrection, that the individuals who are permitted to speak can only utter the truth. They cannot make excuses. They cannot plead their case. They cannot beg for the intercession of anyone else. They cannot offer a ransom. All decisions have already been made. The whole function of the day of resurrection is to bring to light all these things that people have tried to conceal. Now let's look at the testimony of the Prophet Muhammad against his people. This is in Surah 25, verse 27 through 30. It says, "The day will come when the transgressor will bite his hands in anguish and say, 'At last, I wish I had followed the path with the messenger. At last, woe to me, I wish I did not take that person as a friend. He has led me away from the message after it came to me. Indeed, the devil lets down his human victims. The messenger said, this is his testimony against his people on the day of resurrection. It says, the messenger said, my Lord, my people have deserted this Quran. This is his testimony against his people on the day of resurrection. We don't have any indication that the prophet intercedes on the behalf of anyone. But again, this goes against the clear-cut verses of the Quran that on the day of resurrection, only those permitted by God are going to be allowed to speak, and they can only utter the truth. They cannot make excuses. They cannot plead their case. They cannot argue on behalf of anyone. They cannot change the outcome of anyone. They cannot offer a ransom to change the outcome for anyone because all matters have already been settled. Again, the function of the day of resurrection is to bring the truth to light for everyone to see, to have all the reckoning take place for the good deeds and bad deeds that people have done in this world. And this is consistent with the Quran. God gives us numerous examples of what it's going to be like on the day of resurrection. And the reality is, every single soul is going to be concerned only about their own neck. They're not going to care about the outcome of other people. They're only going to be concerned about their own neck. And any statement that comes out of their mouth can only be the truth. For example, in Surah 70, verse 8 through 15, it reads, the day will come when the sky will be like molten rocks. The mountains will be like fluffy wool. No friend will care about his close friend. This includes all the prophets and messengers. It continues, when they see them, the guilty will wish he could give his own children as ransom to spare him the retribution of that day. Also his spouse and his brother, even his whole tribe that raised him, even all the people on earth if it would save him. No excuses will be accepted. I'm not sure how much more clear it can be that every single soul on the day of resurrection is only going to be concerned about their own destiny. Another example in Surah 80, verse 33 through 37, it reads, then when the blow comes to pass, that is the day when one flees from his brother, from his mother and father, from his spouses and children. Each of them on that day worries about his own destiny. As mentioned, the messengers are not exempt from these passages. They will be concerned about their own neck no different than any other soul. The individuals who implore and supplicate to the messengers, hoping for them to intercede on their behalf, are showing that they don't believe in God. They think there's some other entity who can harm or benefit them. And the irony is that these righteous individuals, they themselves are seeking to get closer to God. In Surah 17, verse 57, it says, even the idols they implore are seeking the ways and means towards their Lord. They pray for His mercy and fear His retribution. Surely the retribution of your Lord is dreadful. So all this shows is that on the day of resurrection, no outcomes can be changed. No decision made by God can be altered. The only thing that's going to save anyone is their truthfulness. Were they truthful in this life? Because if they were, then their testimony on the day of judgment is going to be a good one. So to refresh some of these points that were brought up, one is that when God says there is no intercession, this is specifically in the context that no third party is ever going to be able to intercede on behalf of another soul. Secondly, the ones who will be permitted on the day of resurrection for intercession are those who conform to the truth, the ones who say what is right and bear witness to the truth. They will not be able to plead, they will not be able to make arguments, they will not be able to make excuses. So when people are called to account, they can only state the truth. The messengers will not be arguing on behalf of anyone else. No parent is going to be arguing on behalf of their child. No child is going to be arguing on behalf of their parent. Each individual will have to answer to God alone. Based on this information, the Quran in no uncertain terms eliminates the possibility of any kind of third-party intercession. The only people who will be able to intercede will be those who are permitted to speak, whom God has already approved and who bear witness to the truth. This will not change the outcome for anyone, but will only confirm God's predetermined decision. And I want to end with a set of verses. This is in Surah 69, verse 18 through 35, where it talks about the two groups of people on the day of resurrection, the one who makes it to heaven and the one who's destined for hell. It reads, "On that day, you will be exposed. Nothing of you can be hidden. As for the one who receives his record with his right hand, he will say, 'Come read my record. I believe that I was going to be held accountable.' He has deserved a happy life in an exalted paradise. Its fruits are within reach. Eat and drink happily in return for your works in the days past." I want to emphasize that it shows the individual cannot change his record. His record is going to be open for all to see, and his record is dependent on the works he did when he was in this world, meaning that once he crossed that threshold from life to death, that his fate was sealed. There was no changing. There was no going back. And it continues in Surah 69, verse 25 through 35. It says, "As for him who is given his record in his left hand, he will say, 'Oh, I wish I never received my record. I wish I never knew my account. I wish my death was eternal. My money cannot help me. All my power is gone. Take him and shackle him. Burn him in hell. In a chain that's 70 arms long, tie him up. For he did not believe in God most great, nor did he advocate feeding of the poor. Consequently, he has no friend here.'" So now to recap on all these points. The Quran informs us that on the Day of Judgment, no one will be able to intercede on behalf of anyone else. Again, there's 18 verses that God states that there is no intercession, and it's always in the context of a third party interceding on behalf of another. The Quran also states that there is a caveat, and that caveat is that there is no intercession except in accordance with God's will. That on the Day of Resurrection, God will permit certain individuals to speak. These individuals will only be concerned about their own neck. These individuals will only speak the truth about what they bore witness to. They will not be able to make excuses or argue on behalf of themselves or others. Their intercession will not change God's decreed outcome, but will only confirm God's pre-existing decision. So to think that there's some other entity that can intercede on our behalf on the Day of Judgment is going against the direct commandments of God in the Quran. God tells us repeatedly, there is no third-party intercession. God tells us those who are permitted to speak will only utter the truth, be it good or bad for them. That's all that they can utter, that they're not going to be able to plead or change the outcome of God's decision. Now, God willing, before we end, just contemplate one last thing. If we think that there's some other entity who can alter our outcome in the hereafter, that God has decreed either heaven or hell for someone, and someone else is going to come and change God's word, we're giving God-like powers to that individual. We're setting that individual as a partner next to God, and we're calling that individual more merciful, more gracious, more just than God himself. This is idol worship. God tells us in the Quran that if we die as idol worshippers, that there will be no salvation for us, and our eternity will be spent in hell. So God willing, let's take this seriously. Let's make sure that we only depend on God for our salvation, that we reject the notion that some other entity will come and be able to alter the decision decreed by God regarding the final destiny of any human being. God willing, we're going to end there. If you guys want to get in contact, please join us on our Discord server. We have thousands of users, daily Quran recitations, debates, all kinds of good stuff. We'd love to have you. If you want to follow along the verses of the Quran, you can download the Quran Study app on the iOS App Store. If you don't have an iOS device, you can go to QuranStudyApp.com website. If you want notes from today's discussion, you can go to Quran Talk blog. You can find notes from today's discussion as far as articles on numerous topics. And if you want more regular updates, please follow me on Twitter at Talk Quran. And until next time, peace and God bless.